We also bring your greetings in Jesus' name, thankful to be in God's house. Also want to give a special welcome to our visitors. Does us good to see Dean and April here and some others. Certainly a welcome. Hope you feel welcome and free to worship with us. For the beginning, let's all stand for Psalms 1. Everyone ready? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Thank you. You may be seated. It was a little bit hard to settle on a title for the message, but it finally became clear. But I want to preach today about something that each one of us needs as we all go through life. And the need is just as great for the oldest to the youngest. And as we start the school year, there is something in every one of the children that the teachers want them to have. They want that. And when parents are bringing up their children, they want their children to have it and to develop it. It's something that we need when we are talking about the Bible, coming together to have Sunday school. It's something we need right now. I need it. You all need it as we hear this message. And it's something that in the Bible, there are many examples of people who had it and people who did not have it. What do you think it is? Just like the teachers, what do you want from your pupils this school year? Dads and mothers, what do you want from your children? It's something that is very, very important. It has to do with eternal life. It has to do with how we are when God speaks to us. And for the beginning of the message, I'd like to turn to John chapter 3. And there is the account of Nicodemus. And there is something that Nicodemus said that is very, very important for us to recognize. And it is also something that Nicodemus had himself. It's in verse 2. It says, the same, this Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He said that we know that you are a teacher that comes from God. Now, when you have a teacher, when you have a preacher, when you have parents, isn't it that one thing that you hope that your children have, that school children have, that all of us have, is a teachable spirit? So the title today for the message is Be Teachable. Oh, Pop is by far the oldest one here. But, you know, when you get that old, don't you think you're pretty well, you know a lot. But if you get to the point where you don't have a teachable spirit, the Bible says you still don't know what you need to know. Like, he that thinks he knows still doesn't know what he ought to know. So we see here that John, he had a teachable spirit. And he was wanting to know. He was wanting to learn. And in school, the teachers want the children to have teachable spirits. And parents want that from their children. A teachable spirit. And when you get to the place where you can't teach someone, have you ever heard someone make the remark, "You can't tell me any different"? Well, you know what? I always cringe when I hear it. And I wouldn't be surprised if I've said that myself, but I think that's something we should stay away from. You can't tell me it's any different. And back when there was a split here in this community years ago, back in the latter 80s, there were times I would hear that. Du kannst mich nicht different so. You can't tell me any different. This is the way it is. Be teachable. I'd like to turn to Job. There's something that Elihu there is saying in chapter 36. He says in verse 2, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee." How do you gain knowledge if you don't have a teachable spirit? "Behold, God is mighty and despises not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters and beholden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded." Then he says this in verse 10, "He openeth also their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity." Doesn't that take a teachable spirit? And God is the one that openeth their ear to discipline. Now, we don't like discipline, do we? Another word for discipline is chastening. We don't like chastening. It doesn't feel good, but that comes. The chastening is about the same as discipline. And sometimes, you know, children evidence the fact that they need discipline. And what do you think of a parent who says, "I just can't spank my children. I just love them too much"? How many of you would buy that? I don't think anybody in here would. "I just love them too much to spank them." And I remember when I was growing up, there was a man in the community who would not spank his children. It was against his constitution somehow. And it showed in the family in later years. It showed. It says in verse 11, "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures." If they obey him, if they hear him, if they have that teachable spirit, if they are open to hear and they want to hear and they want to learn. Now, what makes it easier for teachers in this school year when the children display this spirit that "I want to learn, I want to learn something. I want to learn what you want to teach me"? That makes it so much easier than if you've got this little boy or this little girl that they just feel to be unteachable. Hot lunny. Hard to learn. And I'm not talking about the thing of like I was when I was young. There are some people, God made us all different. He gave us different talents. There are some people who can just rattle off arithmetic and the numbers just come for them and so on. That was just not me when I was young growing up. But you know, the biggest hindrance to being teachable, to being open to hear, is a rebellious spirit. That is something, that person that is rebellious has become unteachable, at least in that area. So it's not so much to be able to teach somebody. It's not so much just knowledge or wisdom. It is having to clear out the block that is on the heart of rebellion. And when that is removed, then there is the person becomes teachable. You know, at one point Saul was teachable. At one point he was. But he slowly got to the point where he got the big head, so to speak. He thought he knew, and he was no longer teachable, and he took his own way. And that's where the Bible talks about this, the rebellion that is as a sin of witchcraft. And Saul became so far estranged, he would not, he would not let himself be told. I remember one time in Stewart's Draft, it made an impression on me when I was a young boy. One of the preachers was preaching a message. And I liked to hear him preach. But he talked about a man in a certain church. There was a problem within that church. And it seemed to be going like through the church. But they finally zeroed it down to a certain man who was talking to some others. And they finally put it down to one sentence in describing this man. And he said this, "I will not be told. I will not be told." That is sad. And he says here in verse 12, "But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." So having a teachable spirit, your life depends on it. Your spiritual life depends on being teachable. God uses many different things and circumstances to come into our lives for us to be teachable. To create a teachableness within us. Because, see, God knows everything, and he sees all of us. He sees the depth of your heart, and you can be very, very thankful for that. But, see, when God knows everything about you, do you know what he sees there? He sees potential. He sees where you are, and he sees where he can take you if you are teachable. And so, when circumstances come into your life, and you don't understand them, think about God's teaching program. Think about his chastening. Think about his discipline. He is bringing things into your life that you absolutely cannot help and you don't understand. But he wants to take you from a certain place to here. In Revelations, in the churches, there were so many things that were brought up about these churches. The things that the Spirit was saying that was not right. And then he said, "He that does so and so overcomes, I will give eternal life." And you cannot be an overcomer if you're not teachable. Now, as relates to discipline, as relates to, well, parents. Suppose you would have a child. When the family is all eating ice cream and it's being passed around. And then it would come to one of your children and he would not take any. He would just pass it on. And everybody would wonder, well, what is wrong with him or her? What's wrong? And you would ask the question, you know, what's wrong? Why don't you want ice cream? And you would hear this from your child. Well, you know, ice cream is really one of my weaknesses. And I just decided for 1 month, I'm not going to eat any ice cream. Just to deny myself what I want, to teach myself discipline. What would you think if you'd have a child that would say that? That would be a lesson for parents, wouldn't it? It'd be a lesson for me. But that's really what fasting is. There's times we deny this body things that it wants, and we call it a fast because we're wanting to grow closer to God, or we're wanting it to teach us something. We do that when we are teachable. We're wanting to learn what God wants to say in a certain matter. And maybe it's a certain matter that we can't see the way. We can't see what do we need to do. And we come to a fast. Deny this body something at once to teach us discipline, to teach us acceptance, what God brings into our life. And there are so many things, different things in life that a child can come to the point, you know, and children, you know, I know that's, they are small, and they are, you know, they want what they want. And a parent that loves them, a lot of times in food and things like that, they want to give it to them. Jesus said, if your son asks for a fish, who would give him a scorpion? You know, I understand that, but I'm just trying to bring out some thoughts here of if you parents have a child that would come to that point where he denies himself something that he really wants to teach himself discipline, you would think that would be a good thing. Well, how do us parents teach the children things like that if we're not willing to do that? And I speak to myself first of all. So God sees this potential within us. And he's wanting to take us from where we are to where he sees that we can do a work for him. And it works a little bit like this. Lately, someone put in the budget, you know, about my wife's needs. And we got a lot of letters. One letter came a few days ago that really impressed us. When I came home, my wife had read the letter, and there was just kind of a light in her eyes. And the letter was written by this Amish man. And he was saying what his experience had been. His wife went through some kind of sickness and got to the point where she was like on her deathbed. And they had heard from a certain lady in Missouri that put people on a certain program that could be very helpful. And so they were at their wits' end, and they decided to just try this yet before her death. And he said various things in the letter. And then he had his phone number on the bottom, so I called him. He did not say what the program was. So I called him, and then he called back yesterday morning. We had quite a lengthy talk. And his wife had gotten to the point they did not know what was wrong. The doctors, they went to I don't know how many doctors, and the doctors finally told them that es ist irschen dein Kopf. It's just in your head. There's really nothing wrong with you. It's just in your head. If you think you're sick, you are sick. Well, that was tough to hear that because they knew something was wrong. They just didn't know what. And she got to the point where she was near death because she was skin and bones. And they had to go to the hospital about every other day to put her on IV because she could no longer drink. She could not swallow any food. Everything had to go through the IV. And he told me that it was, he was angry at God, and he was so upset with life. Things had been going so well. They had three little children, and they had a lot of dreams in their life, and here it was turning out like this, and God was just like yanking his wife away from him. So unfair. But he said they prayed through that, and they finally got to the point where him and his wife both basically said their goodbyes and accepted it. Well, after being on this program for 3 days, his wife was, again, drinking liquids. And like a week or two after that, she started swallowing food. And he said, today my wife is like above normal. As far as energy and a lot of things like that. But then he got to talking about his youth. He said he had a terrible youth. When he was, now as I say this, what I'm wanting to say is how God can bring someone from a place that is so low to a place where he can be on fire for God and really have working in God's vineyard and encouraging people. But he said he was severely abused when he was young at home, by his dad. I guess all the children were. He said finally it was so bad the cops came and took him off to jail. But that left a lot of scars on us. And they milked cows. And then there was a beachy Amish man that started hauling the milk. And there was one day when he came there for the milk and he just poured out his heart, all his troubles to this man. He seemed like this man was a very kind, understanding man. And the man said he would try to get him help. And it got to the point where during the middle of the night, he and his wife came and picked him up and took him far up north to Michigan to a boys' camp where they take troubled boys like that, troubled men and boys, he said. And he was there for 6 months, and then he went back home. He felt so much better. He worked through a lot of issues, and then it got to the point where he told this beachy man that, I want to come to your church. I don't want to be in my church anymore because I think I could learn so much more in your church. And he said that this man told me that going to another church is not your problem. It won't solve your problem. What you need is Jesus Christ. And he said he was exactly right. He got to the point where he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, became a saved man. And he stayed Amish. But then he went on and got married and went through this situation with his wife. And he was up and down and up and down and so on. But today he is so thankful. He has his wife back and everything. After he had given everything up, he got her back. And now he's writing, this Amish man is writing a letter to my wife and encouraging her in her situation. So he got to the point where he was an angry, abused young person to the point where now he is giving encouragement to other people, trying to help them understand God a little bit better. He came that far. So when he was angry and discouraged and his dad was doing stuff and I asked him, you know, when those those people came and got you in the middle of the night, he said it was 11:30 when they picked me up. I put all my belongings in their car and off we went. I said, well, what was your dad say about that? Well, he couldn't really say anything. He was in jail. Well, what did your mom say? Well, my mom supported me 100% to go get help. Well, that was wonderful. It was a teachable mom, right? And the boy wanted help. So no matter how low you go in life, if you have a teachable spirit, you can come up out of that and get to the point where you're praising God. And that's what he told me over the phone, that I have learned that in any situation I'm in, I can still praise God. That's a long way to come from somebody that is angry and bitter and abused. And then hang on to that thing all their life, become a bitter person, because they become unteachable. And sometimes it is because the pain is so great and life is so unfair, they become unteachable. But if a teachable spirit remains there, look what a person can learn and come out of and give glory to God. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Where he talks here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. He says this. And this is interesting. You know, I've often thought about it. He says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now here we have an indication of a teachable spirit, but never able to learn. What is that about? It is about being open to learning wrong things. That's just the opposite of what we want. Suppose someone would come to you and try to teach you against God. Teach you that there is no God. Yes, we need to be unteachable. So when we refer to a teachable spirit, it is on the side of learning things from God. He owns everything anyway. He owns it. He made it. He brought it into existence. So that is the one where we want to get our teaching from. Now, in the next verse, he says here in verse 8, it brings out about some people who were unteachable. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You remember that time when there were people who stood up against Moses and said, look, you say God talks to you. He can talk to us too. You don't have to be the only leader. We can be a leader also. That was not God's way. And the Bible here says that they were ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so the earth opened up its mouth and all these people fell in. Their families and everything they had fell in and the earth covered them up. That was God's wrath back in those days. It says in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul is saying that you knew the things that I was confronted with, the circumstances that came to me in life. And I would like for any one of us here who might think that life is unfair, look at the Apostle Paul and see all the things that he was confronted with, circumstances that came into his life, and how he responded. Our response to things is so important. When something comes into your life that is traumatic, and you just don't understand it, by all means, keep yourself open to God's Spirit and recognize that you need to be teachable and have a teachable spirit. And that is the way that God can teach us things. And it's when something traumatic comes, one of the first things that we should be doing is praying. And you hear that often, you know, for people who are requesting prayer because of a certain situation. Teachable people pray. Teachable people ask God. Teachable people plead. They are open to each other. They are open to learn because things that I'm doing just don't seem to be working. It can be in many different areas of our life. It can be like when children are becoming rebellious. Are parents teachable? It can be when finances are not working right. Are we teachable? So many different things in life. Sometimes God puts a person into your life that is difficult to get along with. And I remember that. And I'll just say that we have worked since the early 1980s when we started a meat processing plant. We have worked hundreds of boys and girls. And there are times when you get a situation where there are two boys or two girls who just, something is just wrong. And you try to put your finger on it. Yeah, you just about can't. It's just like there's some chemistry. It's just like some person. Have you ever heard of a personality clash? And here you have two people that actually work against each other. They might have to stand side by side packaging meat. And I've heard the complaints from one end to the other. She does this and she does that. And she does it just to aggravate me. And a boy is the same way. Although I must admit, and I hope this side of the house is not offended at me for saying it, but we see it far more with the girls than we do the boys. And I don't say that at all in a degrading way. But it does, to me, what speaks to me is that it seems that the ladies are a lot sharper in picking things up than what the men are a lot of times. And I know at home when our family was growing up, there were things that, you know, I got the impression my wife was wired to these children and she knew what was going on. And there were times it was just like blank to me. Well, what is going on? And so when you have people that have feelings that are quick and might be more aware, that they're quicker to pick up the negative as well as the positive. However that is, you know, God made women and he made men. And usually when you look at a situation where you have a passive husband, you've got a wife that is ready to do something. And if the husband doesn't, sometimes she will. It's not right, but when we have passive husbands, are we teachable? There are times my wife desperately wanted me to do something about a certain situation, but I just didn't feel led. And it might have been because I just didn't feel like it. But, you know, just lately, you know, as far as children learning things, I just smiled and it made me feel good when I read about this family that doesn't need a babysitter anymore because they had taught the older ones to take care of the younger ones. And the older ones were saying, we don't need a babysitter anymore. That's wonderful. Somebody was teachable, right? Somebody was teachable. And, you know, sometimes we have made the remark that we had 8 children. Oh, horrors, how did you do it? You know, a lot of non-Mennonites, excuse me, that's what their reaction is to somebody that has so many children. But I say, if parents are teachable, they pass that on to the children being teachable, you can start teaching these older children. And they will help with everything. And it makes life to where it's just pretty tolerable. It really is. But if you take the ways of the world you can't teach your child to work till he's 14 years old, excuse me, he will not learn to work. And is it any wonder that we have this society that is so dependent on government to take care of me? And the ones who are out there really, truly working and making a living and doing everything they can end up paying for the people who are sitting on the porches and just enjoying being taken care of. How would it be if everyone would be teachable enough to want to work? I would think we'd have a better world. And it starts when Johnny is so young. In fact, just lately, you know, I had to smile when Gene told me that this little baby they've got, he slapped it. And his wife was horrified. And she was crying, and she was horrified about that. Why did you do that? It's too young. It's too young to do that. It's just a month old. And that's where it goes back to teaching. And Jean just told her, look, if he is to where he can throw such an anger fit, he's not too old. He is not too young to be slapped. And she got to the point where she agreed with it, but was still tough. You know a mom's heart. But there, when they're old enough to show their anger and see staff ma to stiffen themselves, like make rebellious moves, they're not too old to start disciplining. If you want a child that is teachable, start young. And you know, one thing I've told my children already is there is one thing about disciplining children when they are so young, less than 2 years old. That is when most of the discipline should be done. And it's so important. But the wonderful thing about it is, in all that discipline, in all those smacks and whatever you do to discipline, when they're older, they can't remember that anymore. So think about that. It's not going to do lasting damage to hurt their feelings. It really won't. It gets them to where they have a teachable spirit when they grow older. And that is something that our spiritual life depends on, being teachable. Then he says here in verse 15, I'll have to cut some of this out. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Don't we need a teachable spirit for this to do us any good? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In closing, I'd like to turn to Titus in chapter 2. He says here, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women. Here he talks about the aged men and the aged women, and he is telling them what they need. See, they also need a teachable spirit as well as the young. Otherwise, the Bible couldn't tell them anything. They know it all. The aged men to be sober. He says to speak. He's telling Timothy here to speak, or Titus. He's telling Titus here to speak to the aged men. And then he says, speak to the aged women also and tell them this, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be contemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Skipping a few verses here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's kneel to pray.